It's going to frost tonight, Julie. Can you believe that?
Well, it's that time of year, isn't it, Jamie?
It's still officially summer, though.
We'll take it. We'll take that sunshine.
33 degrees for the overnight low tonight, so you're going to wake up to a very frosty morning. Tomorrow is the opening day for the kids' youth hunt for waterfowl, so I'm begging dads and moms and grandmas and grandpas, if you're taking your kids out, bundle them up because it's going to be cold.
You know, I love this time of year when these parents have the opportunity to bond with their kids and share a passion that they have. As an outdoorsman, I know you appreciate that bond between that parent and that child, or that grandparent or child or aunt or uncle or neighbor. It warms my heart to see that that legacy being passed on to that next generation.
Julie Alexander, our state rep, is on with us this morning on News Talk 970 WKHM. Good morning to you, Julie. How are you?
Good morning, Jamie. I was so excited to come in and see you today. Now, I love working with, you know, you've got a great team here, and I love my conversations with Greg, but
the legend.
I made sure as I was preparing for today that we had some topics that you'd be interested in as well.
Greg will be back on Monday, but I was excited to fill in until my alarm went off at 4:20 this morning. Yeah. And then Scott Klaus sent me a text at about 4:25 and said, "Are you up?" And I said, "I'm up."
That's a good partner.
But it's fun, and it's going well so far this morning. You were just talking about, off the air, we were had a brief conversation about some of the topics that we were going to go over, and Triple E was one of the things that you were talking about. Triple E, that's the mosquito-borne virus, is that correct?
Correct. So Triple E stands for Eastern Equine Encephalitis, and we know that the mosquitoes carry this disease, and we had an issue last fall. If you remember, even some of our football games, high school football games, were canceled last fall. And it will be prevalent in the mosquitoes until we've had two hard frosts. So I thought it was interesting. That's how you started the conversation. Once we've had two hard frosts, those mosquitoes are no longer around and carrying that. So we know that this disease affects horses. That is the most prevalent population mm-hmm. in which is affected with this. It can affect humans.
Right.
We do not have any human verified cases yet. I did speak with the Jackson County Health Department director as I came in today asking, you know, I value this, the safety component. We need to make sure that our state governments, our county governments, are acting in a manner which keeps us all health and safe. I get that piece. But there are a lot of individuals out there that are upset with the way this is being done this year because there is no opt-out. So if you are living in an area that was to be sprayed, for instance, last night, the designated area was a population in Michigan Center. So it was Grass Lake, Leoni area. That area was designated to be sprayed. Last fall, when all of this came about, you could opt out and say, I don't want my property sprayed for the mosquitoes. I have some concerns. Now, the department will tell you they're spraying with pyrethrins, which is naturally found in chrysanthemums, that is commonly used to control mosquitoes, fleas, flies, moths, many other pests. It's been around since the 50s, and it's safe. That's what they're telling us. But Jamie, I'm here to say, I'm here to listen to everyone, and those that are growing marijuana, those that have beehives, are beekeepers, raising pollinators, they're still concerned. Mm-hmm. So in my opinion, it's my job just to listen to everyone, get answers, ask the questions, and hold everyone accountable because people are concerned. And with everything that's going on during this pandemic, there are a lot of people that question the government's role, the government's overreach, the government's process through all of this. So I will continue to get answers in these areas.
Well, we certainly appreciate that, but it looks like Mother Nature is going to intervene tonight because there is a hard frost, the first of the two hard frosts that you talked about, widespread frost in the forecast tonight, and 32, 33 degrees for the overnight low. Might just wipe them out right away.
It could. It could. And that would be a good thing that would. And again, these are taxpayers' dollars used on these aerial sprayings. And we will see how it all plays out. But, you know, individuals that are interested, if you want to share your thoughts, opinions, I had someone text me early this morning saying there were low flying planes over their home last night. That would indicate to me that they were out spraying. Mm-hmm. So that was the reason for my phone call. I wanted then confirmation from the department that that took place, and they could not yet give me that information. So we'll just continue gathering that. But the best way to contact me, these are very busy times right now. My office number, 517-373-1795, if you'd like to leave a message, and or emailing my state email, JulieAlexander@house.mi.gov, and feel free to pass on whatever insight questions you might have.
Julie, you're always hopping. You are a very busy rep, but you're going to get going on Monday right away, aren't you?
I am. We are so excited for Monday. Monday, I am able with Representative Sarah Leitner to be hosting an event that has been in the making for over 2 years. Jamie, what happened about 3 years ago, I was just newly elected, and in Lansing, I went into the Michigan Correction Officers building. And as I was walking in, I saw a small monument recognizing their fallen officers that they had lost over the years. And when I saw Josephine McCollum and Jack Budd, who lost their life in Jackson prisons back in the 80s, in 1987, I asked some of the individuals there, have they ever had any roads named after them? And the answer was no. And I thought I-94 at Cooper Street would be the perfect place to recognize those fallen officers.
Sure.
And it's more than just recognizing those fallen officers. When you read that sign, when you reflect on that, it makes you stop and think about the correction officers that put that uniform on day in and day out. And we know here in our Jackson community, we have a large population of correction officers because of the proximity to four of our state prisons. So to me, it was the right thing to do. And Governor Snyder passed that legislation back in November of 18. So then I moved forward and I thought, okay, what does a road naming event look like? And to learn that we're about to tear I-94 at Cooper Street apart. It was interesting because as they progressed through that, we ran into a lot of problems. The basic one being the discovery of the coal mines. That created a lot of challenges. There were underground coal mines in that area.
Really?
That caused significant modifications in the structural plan and the whole design. So it was a $110 million project just for that road stretch. And they worked through it. I mean, they had to work through COVID. They had to, you know, get through all of the pieces. But my decision in delaying the process until that road was done was important because we want the signs to be up. We want
and again, I just want to follow. You're talking about 94.
I-94 at the Cooper Street
right,
exit.
Right.
Yep. So then, exactly to your point, if you were to go south at that exit, that's the grand entranceway into the city of Jackson. So to me, then, we need to collaborate with the city and bring the city on board, too. It's a beautiful entranceway into using Cooper Street there. Let's acknowledge the work that's been done by the city, by Jackson County, by JDOT, by the state, MDOT, as well as the recognition of the fallen officers. So then, Jamie, if you're getting a sense of my energy here, let's take it one step farther. In my investigating of what other fallen officers have we are on our radar from a historical perspective, I discovered that back in 1893, the very first correction officer lost his life in our Jackson community. And I shared this with Representative Leitner. Their name was Deputy Gatekeeper. That's what they called him back then, a gatekeeper instead of a correction officer, George Height. And he lost his life at a Michigan State prison here in Jackson, again, back in 1893. He was a Civil War veteran. And he was working when an inmate befriended him and poisoned him.
No kidding.
He was poisoned to death. So
wow.
This is now Representative Sarah Leitner's legislation. So she is the bill sponsor on Deputy Gatekeeper George Height, the recognition there, and the highway portion that she is acknowledging is on I-94, but closer to that Elm and Detman area. So we have that stretch of property. We want to recognize our correction officers, offer the recognize the lives that were lost, reflect on those that serve not only as our correction officers, but to me, it goes past that and all those that put that uniform on and then recognize the work on our roadway. So that's what we have going. It is a public event. It will take place on Monday at 1 o'clock. We'd love to have McGibbon Radio Group out there and our local media. It is on Cooper Street, just north of I-94. Mm-hmm. So there's MDOT property there. There is a manufacturing company that's located there. We've got some tents set up. We'll be socially distanced with our chairs. And we are excited because in addition to Representative Leitner, Senator Shirky, and myself, we are going to have Director Heidi Washington, who, again, our Director of Corrections. We will also have the Director of Transportation, MDOT Director, Paul Edgeba, and we have asked the families of all three of those fallen officers.
This is really neat, Julie.
Yeah. It just kind of fell together.
So what does this look like as far as their signage that will be put up?
The signage that will be revealed, it's not practical for us to go out onto the highway to see the signs. So we will have displays that we'll be unveiling to show everyone what the signs look like. And I'm purchasing with my own money replicas of those signs to give to the family. So it's interesting.
Oh, that's great.
To be able to connect with these families. So it was 1987 when these murders took place. Josephine McCollum was a young mom. She had a 4-year-old son. And her 4-year-old son is now a grown man, obviously.
Sure.
And he has been creating a documentary of his mom's life. And he shared with me 2 years ago, he was excited about the road dedication. And I kept having to go back to him. We're going to have to delay it. We started with just 6 months because we obviously didn't want the ceremony in the fall. I said, we'll go with the spring. Then spring hit to discover that they're going to be doing the road construction. So then we reached back out to him, said we're going to have to delay it because of the road construction. But he was most excited because he's putting this documentary together on his mom's life. He was 4 years old. His mother was a rookie correction officer when she was found raped, strangled, and beaten in an auditorium stairwell. Mm. There was no staff witnesses. Evidence pointed to a single attacker who was later found guilty in committing this crime. He was sentenced to prison for first-degree murder. But this young child had to live his life without his mother, and it gives us the opportunity to allow closure for the family. When I spoke with Mr. McCollum, he just thanked me over and over again. So that would have been Josephine's husband at the time, just thanking me for not forgetting his wife.
This could be a real-life movie or a great podcast. I bet you people would be glued to this documentary that the son is keeping over the for the life of his mom. This is great.
Exactly. It's an honor to be serving. And when opportunities like this are presented to me where we can, again, honor, reflect on incidences that have happened in our community, positive or sad events, it's an honor to be able to put these events together.
State Rep. Julie Alexander's on with us. And again, the time and location of this event on Monday?
1 o'clock in the, actually, it'll be Blackman Township, I-94 at Cooper Street, just north of I-94. And you'll see a large tent there. And that's where we'll be gathering. We have correction officers have their own honor guard. So we'll be starting with our own correction officers. Some individuals, higher ranking individuals with the correction officers department contacted me and said, we have some correction officers that actually served with these individuals. Can they attend? Of course they can attend. This is an opportunity for us just to offer our respect and reflect on those that serve.
State Rep. Julie Alexander's on with us this morning on News Talk 970. Jamie in for GOC. You were quickly telling me, and I'm kind of close to this situation, that in the sporting world, and this has to do with bait shops like Knutson Sporting Goods, you were telling me that if you're a bait shop or if you're a wholesale distributor of minnows and you're a bait shop, you can't take those minnows and then ship those.
Export them.
Over the state lines?
Correct. So their Michigan law has that prohibition in place. And what happened is with so many of my pieces of legislation, they come to me from the people I serve. And Tom Knutson and his family brought this forward. Tom is a family member who's studying law, and she discovered that there was a U.S. Supreme Court ruling that finds our Michigan statute in violation. They contradict themselves. So we took it in front of the Natural Resources Commission and the House of Representatives. The Knutson family came up, offered testimony on this, and said, listen, we have state law that contradicts a U.S. Supreme Court ruling, and we need to fix this. I'll be honest, in the first committee hearing, DNR was opposing it. They had some concerns. And I said, well, share with me what your concerns are. What is your solution that you want to bring to the table? And ultimately, they went neutral on it as we took the vote and were able to pass it out of the House Natural Resources Committee because of that U.S. Supreme Court ruling.
Okay, so the DNR is neutral because of the Supreme Court ruling.
Yes.
Okay.
And they still have concerns, and I always say to anyone that approaches me, I am more than happy to have conversations, but you need to come to me with some solutions. What is the problem? I understand, you know, where they're coming from, but come to me with solutions. Again, we need to be not in violation of.
Because somebody like Knutson's, who is a wholesaler and who wants to be able to send these minnows to different bait shops in Ohio, right, or Indiana, which is, by the way, pretty close to where we are, yes, here in Brooklyn, Michigan with Knutson's, or in Jackson, Michigan, they can't do that right now. So it really limits their business.
It does. The only way they're able to sell it out of the state is if it's actually coming in from another state. So they're finding another way to maneuver around it. But I believe we should have clarity in our laws that are consistent with what other states have as well. So
the DNR goes neutral. You guys say, okay, but now what has to happen?
So now it will head to another committee called Ways and Means, which the good thing is, the department is more than happy. I'm more than happy to sit down with the department and have a conversation to see what their concerns are, if they are going to ask for an amendment or a substitute, if there's something they want modified in it, happy to do so. It will then, when it is done with the committee process in the House, it goes to the House floor, and then it moves over to the Senate. So it's got a ways to go, but we're still, in September? We've got a few more months of this 100th session of legislature.
Julie Alexander, state rep, on with us this morning. And then one final question. To explain to the listeners what you were telling me about Michigan gas tanks.
Again, this is not my legislation, but this to me is a common sense piece of legislation. Some of your listeners might reflect back on a few years ago when the gas cans we were using here in our state, they changed. And they changed because the federal...
You're talking about gas cans that you would use to fill up your lawnmower.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, or a motorboat,
right,
or a motor, anything of that nature. So the standards were changed by the federal EPA to reduce toxic air emissions. And in doing so, when they changed those gas cans, those self-venting gas can designs, what we've discovered is creating a challenge when you're pouring the fuel out of it because it's spilling everywhere. It's,
yeah,
leaking. So Representative Steve Johnson presented this legislation. It went through the committee process. It was in front of us on the House floor this week, and it did pass the House floor. It will now move over to the Senate. But what it does is states that because of the frustration of Michiganders using those gas cans when the fuel is spilling everywhere, we can create our own Michigan-based gas can, similar to the old-fashioned cans. Again, the difference between what used to be sold and what is now currently sold. It's an interesting piece of legislation in that you would ask the question, should government be making the lives of its citizens more difficult and complicated and by not allowing them to use the gas can that they want and need to use in pouring when it's spilling all over the place? So that would be the question. And I'm interested to see what happens to this legislation in the Senate.
It sounds like somebody should get busy making new Michigan gas cans again.
Well, that's exactly what would happen. They have to be marked as such. There's significant criteria in the legislation. There has to be markings on it, made in Michigan for Michigan use only, because this would be a different law in Michigan that we would have at a federal level.
I appreciate you coming in. Is there anything else that our listeners should be aware of right now?
Oh, my goodness. There's just so much going, but it was such a...
I mean, we have another hour and 10 minutes if you want. I mean, you and I could probably talk.
We could. It's exciting in Lansing. We have so much going on. We continue to work on budgets. We're getting very close to announcing this year's budget. I was pleased to see that through the process, the budget process, we are going to do our best to not lower the school aid funding, to not lower the funding that our counties and municipalities are getting. They're really challenged. I hear your radio podcast and interviews with Chair Shotwell, and we understand the challenges. And people need to understand, when it comes to law enforcement, our county deputies, those dollars are coming from the county budget, and we need to be cognizant of that at a state level. We need to spend our money fiscally responsibly, prioritizing the whole time. So we're making progress. We're still having committee meetings. We're wrapping up the budget, continue moving on a lot of these important issues.
Well, I hope you get a chance to breathe just a little bit this weekend, and you get a weekend, actually, and you get to smell some of that fresh fall air in Hanover Horton.
Well, there are a lot of outdoor activities. I'm looking forward to tonight going to the POW MIA event.
Okay.
That's an important one for me. I enjoy the camaraderie of all the veterans. They're almost like family. As you know, my son served for 5 years in the United States Marine Corps, so I became active with the Marine Corps Auxiliary, and I consider them my friends, so I'm looking forward to going and being a part of that event tonight, and then a couple of events, but they're all outdoors tomorrow, so I'm looking forward to that tomorrow as well.
Thank you, Julie.
Thank you, Jamie.